web, any size, catch his feet, just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
Welcome, one and all, once again to a very special episode of Nerds on the Rocks. I am joined this week by Dan.
Hello.
And Justin.
Hola.
Well, we have one major thing to talk about today, but before we get there, there's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to talk about since we haven't had one of these shows in a while. Well, the big thing we're going to talk about is the whole Spider-Man, Marvel, Sony deal that's kind of happened this week. But since we haven't really kind of done one of these catch-up shows, there's also been news of several other TV shows on that front. Like, I know that Christina Ricci was cast as Jessica Jones for the Jessica Jones TV show on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Christina Ricci. What is it? Christina Ricci? Ritter? Mm-hmm. What is her name?
Kristen Ritter?
Who am I confusing her with?
No, definitely not Christina Ricci.
Okay.
Ritter.
Yes, don't trust the B in apartment 23. So, any thoughts on this, or...?
I've already said what I need to say on, like, my other podcasts, which is she looks really... Small, but I guess she can possibly do it. Well, I mean, like, compared to who they've got for Luke Cage, she looks, like, really small. He could break her in half.
Well, isn't that always the case?
Oh, small like Finn?
Yes. No, because usually...
I was going to say, she's 5'9".
Like,
she looks pretty tall and everything.
This girl is just, like...
Yeah.
No, this girl is, like, thin, man.
Yeah, she's a twig.
Yeah, but whatever.
There were some other people... I really probably should have come prepared for this. There were other people cast for Jessica Jones. I don't remember who offhand now, though.
I do. We have... There's David Tennant is Zebediah Kilgrave.
The Purple Man.
Who is... Yeah. And then there's Carrie Ann Moss, I believe her name is. Playing, they didn't specify her role, but they just said that it was going to be a prominent one, I think.
Well, you would hope so if you get Trinity from The Matrix.
It's true. She's a kind of a high profile.
Is anyone from The Matrix besides Lawrence Fishburne really high profile anymore?
I would say Keanu Reeves. I mean, John Wick did really well, and everybody talks about it.
Good point.
I still
need to see that.
And Keanu Reeves is... I mean, I don't think anybody's ever really taken him for his great acting ability, so he's always going to have...
But he's a well-known name still.
Yeah. And I would say Lawrence Fishburne is kind of probably fallen further down.
Yeah.
I think, because, I mean, his major
between
movie
the,
stuff...
Between the three, I think it'd be Harry.
And between the three of them, I would say Keanu's probably still the biggest star.
Yeah.
Right.
If anything, I would probably say that Agent Smith, whose actor's name I'm drawing a blank on,
Hugo Weaving.
Yes, it's probably the one who had the highest profile career after that movie.
Bro, he's like crazy.
What are you talking about? He's in everything.
Well, it's like after Captain America, he just disappeared. Then he showed up in The Hobbit.
Sure. I don't really. Know.
Yeah, I mean he's from the Lord of the Rings trilogy as well.
Yeah.
Right, but is he actually in the book? Is this character in the book?
Not in
The Hobbit.
I think, from what I understand, there's a lot of stuff in The Hobbit trilogy that probably wasn't
You mean the barrel scene wasn't in The Hobbit book?
Did they start taking stuff from the appendix to put in the movies at that point? Anyhow, that's Jessica Jones. The other thing that was cast was the Supergirl TV series for CBS. Marissa Bonnist? I don't know.
I don't know how to say that name. Apparently she's on Glee, and I've never heard of her before.
That's the joke I made when she was cast. If you want superheroes, you go to Glee. If you want supervillains, you go to Spartacus in the DC.
Apparently, yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, she is cast as Kara Zor-El, Kara Danvers, who is some American.
Why did they come up with Danvers?
Well, that's because there's two Supergirls. Well, there's more than two Supergirls, but there's two identities for Supergirls in the comics, and they just merge the first and last name of two different Supergirls.
Who is Danvers?
I think it's in the Danvers, and I think she's the one that was in, like, post-crisis. Supergirl and Superboy are just really, really strange characters in DC Universe.
Dude, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out, like, who this show is for.
I assume it's for CBS.
Right, but I mean, as far as, like, fans, like, who's been clamoring for a Supergirl show? I mean, you could say that about, like, any of the, like, superhero TV shows, but this one in particular.
I mean, I imagine if you're CBS, you saw something that said, oh, we're getting a Superman-related project on our channel. We're going for it no matter what it is. Yes, I kind of see your point because, and this goes for a lot of stuff, like Supergirl, a lot of the stuff that she's inbuilt with being related to Superman, and this show doesn't have Superman, so there's a lot of things that you have to go around, which is just really strange. But I imagine it's the same reason Gotham exists, and it's the same reason that that Krypton show is in and out
just
there.
Do it.
As far as I know, they haven't, like, canned it or shelved it yet.
I completely forgot about that until now. Oh, my God.
But I imagine it's because Batman and Superman are two of the most recognizable superheroes on the planet. So if you can get something that's somewhat tangentially related to them, you're going to take it. And I assume, like, the poster for this is just going to be the Superman shield, and that's going to get people's interest. The other casted news was, why can't I just pick people's name?
McCod Brooks.
Yes, as Jimmy Olsen. Mm-hmm. Which I was, well, it wasn't as, which means that Jimmy Olsen in this show is an African American, which wasn't that surprising. I didn't think there was too bad of a reaction to that. I did find it funny that apparently everybody has an opinion on Jimmy Olsen. Now I'm like, I didn't know people cared about his personality.
Apparently he's Irish, which I never got that, or I never really cared.
I guess because he's a ginger.
I don't think that applies to every ginger, but apparently it does.
Well, no, I mean, if you use the South Park definition.
Well, I know what I'm saying. Like, according to them, like, apparently every ginger is therefore Irish.
Well, I don't think he's ever had an accent or anything. No, I mean, I guess
I've never heard. I've never heard him be voiced with an accent. You know.
Well, out of that, I was just to say, it's because I don't think any of the live action Jimmy Olsen's have been redheads. He's been redheads in the animated stuff, but okay. The one in the original movies was dark haired, and the one in Olsen Truck was dark hair, and then the one in Smallville, which wasn't Jimmy Olsen, whatever, was.
Can we not bring that up?
Was it Sean Ashmore? And he's not a ginger either, so.
Nope.
So it's whatever.
This is people reaching, basically, right?
Well, yeah, it's people that kind of get this one idea in their head and stick with it, no matter how silly it is.
So it's people reaching.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't know Jimmy Olsen had defined characteristics that people cared about, but this came out and everybody's like, oh, Jimmy's like this and Jimmy's dad. I'm like, I just know, the only thing I know of Jimmy is he's Superman's pal. That's literally the name of his comic book. So that show will be interesting. And I think in the final bit of DC news, I guess I'm missing something, is that the Titans show has gotten a head, and that will star Nightwing, not Oracle, Barbara Gordon.
That's what I said, Oracle.
No, it didn't. That's what I said, not, because it sounds like she's in a wheelchair in this. So it's basically her as Oracle, but they're not referring to her as that.
Oh, right.
Hawk and Dove, Starfire.
And Raven.
And Raven.
For some reason, Hawk and Dove, I don't get that.
I assume Hawk and Dove just because they probably wanted another young team. And I think, wanted somebody... They wanted somebody who could date, because almost everybody else is a Dick Grayson conqueror in the comics, which sounds really negative, but it's true. So maybe they wanted people who Dick Grayson wouldn't dip his tip into.
She went with Dylan or something.
But yeah, I'm kind of curious to see who they cast for this, even though I don't have high expectations for that.
I feel like Titans can go. I feel like Supergirl is the riskier one, but Titans is just going to be like, ooh. Like, if that one bombs, it might bomb bad.
I was going to say, I think we were pretty good on the predictions last year. Because the ones we said that were going to do terrible, Constantine has, and the ones that didn't are going.
Apparently, Constantine's getting moved to sci-fi, or possibly getting moved to sci-fi.
It's possibly getting moved to sci-fi. I kind of figured they were testing that out earlier when they had a mini marathon of like 4 episodes in like November, December. We'll see. It benefits from the fact that it's within the same parent company of Viacom. But yeah, I mean, Supergirl has the potential to be the biggest of the shows. It's a known quantity. It's going to be superheroes. And it's on this, and it's on CBS, who apparently you can get 10 million people to watch anything they put out there.
I still think my theory is true.
That
like people just die watching CBS and no one ever checks up on them. And that's how they get their ratings. Or they have like massive blackmail on most of America.
Yeah.
That sounds spooky.
Well, I think because CBS has always been good at the lowest common denominator shows. Their shows are pretty much shows anybody can watch without much thought. Or it's not necessary shows that, like, we had a discussion earlier today and about Gotham. And Gotham is the most successful of the 5 or 6 shows on the network right now. And the reason that is because Gotham doesn't try to hide anything from the audience. Gotham is pretty much way too on the nose a lot of the times with their characterizations, but it makes it easier for people to watch week to week without having to have a Wikipedia opened. I mentioned this with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale. Like, a lot of the stuff that happened in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale is stuff that you needed to be familiar with the Marvel Universe to actually understand.
And I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so I don't understand. Like, I don't know the parallel, but that's definitely true of Gotham, for sure. You can just hop in and be like, oh, that character? And then usually by the end of the episode or so, you'll understand what everyone is, if you know, like, something about comics.
Yeah. Yeah, and it works. And I imagine Supergirl will be very similar to that.
Yeah.
Titans, I'm not really sure, because
Titans have an enemy.
Well, they have a ton of enemies. I mean, they had an entire cartoon series.
Right, but weren't those just, like, were most of them, like, original characters?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, the biggest Teen Titan villain is kind of a DC villain now, and that was Deathstroke.
Well, yeah. Arrow basically, like, has their claws into him for a while.
And he's also in the movie. Trigon's another one.
Wait, Deathstroke is in the movie?
He's in... Oh, I mean, yeah, isn't he in... No, that's Deadshot.
No.
He's rumored to be in Suicide Squad.
Wow, nice job.
Well, no, I mean, he's been rumored pretty much. I mean, there's rumors of who they're casting and everything. I just don't think they've announced it. But, Teen Titans, I mean, and at the same time, it's, as we've seen with Arrow, you can pretty much just kind of borrow from a vast pool of DC villains. And I don't necessarily think the Teen Titans needs to be kind of a good guys versus bad guys show where you can have it could focus on the interdynamic of the team.
Love triangle, yay!
But, I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, it's what there's like 5 women on that show for Dick Grayson.
God, I will bash my head against the wall into a fucking.
It could also. I mean, I've seen the Librarian, and if they go for that type of tone where it's kind of like this fun adventure show, that could work. It's going to be terrible special effects, but I think that goes with anything that they have on that budget.
Dude, I don't care. I just don't want to fucking build a triangle. It's so fucking annoying.
I don't mind. I've come to peace with that because it's... I was reading an article on Arrow this week because a lot of people had an issue with last week's episode.
They did?
People are finding Felicity insufferable. I thought she made a great point.
She kind of got on my nerves a little bit too.
I can understand, but I thought both of them were. It felt like it was a situation where I thought both parties were correct in what they were saying and how they were reacting to it. I just think that people are always going to side with the hero because the hero is the one you pay your money to see. It's the one you get to. Like, Felicity isn't going to kick ass.
It's not even that. Honestly, it's not even that. It's just that they're just drawing this bullshit shipping thing out way too long. They should just either let them be together or just have them be apart all the time, but, like, quit flip-flopping.
Well, I think that's pretty much what she said, is that I think that was pretty much closing the door on their relationship for this season.
Mm-hmm.
But you know they're going to bring that back, and that's so annoying.
Well, we'll see. But like I said, I was reading an article, and basically it was two writers for, I think, Entertainment Weekly, and they were talking about, like, how the first scene and Oliver scene for the best part of the show for them. And I was just like, you know what, I hate when people are kind of indulgent with their shipping where it becomes... if you tell them that's how, you know, if they that's the thing. If the show's not focused on that, they're pissed off. But I kind of understand that the show needs balance to kind of attract all different types of people to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's an element that appeals to a certain demographic. The same way that, you know, the action stuff appeals to some people, and the shirtless Oliver appeals to some people, and the Rory randomly flipping appeals to some people.
they've been slacking on the shirtless quota and the parkour. They need more parkour.
I heard there was an interview with Colton Haynes the other week where he said that they aren't doing any more of that stuff, but
no!
I don't know if he was serious or not with that.
No!
Anyhow.
I swear to God, if they're not doing any more parkour, that's like my... That's me checking out of this season.
Oh, and I guess one more bit of... I guess one piece of movie news before we move on to the main event is that Tom Hardy actually backed out of the Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, no.
I was actually disappointed. I hate Tom Hardy. I was disappointed in that. I wish it was Jay Courtney. So much.
God damn.
Since then, they have not found a replacement, so I guess that will be a thing. I would say this much. I like the fact that David Ayer is a lot more open with his pre-production than Zack Snyder was. We've seen more behind-the-scenes stuff from Suicide Squad than we have Batman vs. Superman, and that's been filming for like 50 years now.
Yeah.
Are you showing stuff for Suicide Squad?
Yeah, he's been he's not showing stuff, but like if you go to his Twitter feed, he's like showing concept art. He's kind of wax.
I seriously didn't know that. I haven't been paying attention.
Oh no, he's showing a lot of stuff. He showed concept art today. Like he's writing the script. He's showing like he's reading comic books and stuff like that. But Zack Snyder shows off pretty pictures of himself working out, which he has
That's
done.
Useful.
He's done that like two or three times. But yes, the main event, the main attraction of this evening.
Wait, I think we should talk about maybe one more thing.
What's that?
The Arrow rumor that Diggle might end
I'm not going to touch that until it becomes a thing.
It should definitely be a thing.
We shall see. I've been enjoying...
I want to talk about one more show-related thing.
Okay.
What?
It's not comic book show, though. It's just
okay.
Show-related. I thought another show aired this week. It was Better Call Saul. Thought it was pretty great, actually.
It was okay.
It was pretty great, actually.
It should be called Better Call Jimmy.
Yeah.
Just to kind of tie this into our discussion, though... the Monday's episode, the second episode, Miho, was directed by Michelle McGeoring, who is the director of Wonder Woman.
Oh, cool.
And if you've seen that episode, or I mean both episodes, but if you've seen that episode, whatever you may think of Wonder Woman, it will be a well-shot movie. If this is what she's doing on a TV budget.
Mm. But, I mean, that's also, I mean, just all of Breaking Bad was well-shot, too.
Yeah, and she directed some episodes of that, too. Some of the best episodes of that show. I was watching and somebody pointed it out. I'm like, this is really awesome. I think this might be one of the best episodes, you know, one of the best TV things she does, because Wonder Woman probably will start going into pre-production soon.
Is that the only episode she's doing for the season?
I don't know.
The first one?
But, I mean, like I said, she might end up being busy because I assume that she has...
When did Wonder Woman even come out?
2017. So she'll have to start probably around this time next year. But yeah, that was a really... Like I said, I just wanted to tie it into Dan's reference. And
yeah, sorry. I just wanted to bring it up because it was another show-related thing before we move on to movie stuff.
Yeah. She's done
it. It was great, and it... Sorry, it reminded me of old Breaking Bad, and I'm enjoying that. I'm digging the direction.
I've also kind of enjoyed the way that they've made references to the original series without... Because it's an interesting prequel. Like, the big part of the second episode, you know, Exile can't die because he has to survive.
Yeah.
But they kind of say at the start of the show because you see him in the future, which is ultra depressing.
Oh, yeah. It was like the most depressing intro to a series ever.
So I'm kind of curious how much they're going to rely on old actors, because there's only so much aging you can hide, and these people are supposed to be, what, 5 or 6 years in the past?
Yeah. I mean, they said that among the main cast members, Aaron Paul said he would like to, but then I think his agent said no. Dean Norris said he couldn't because he's doing another show. Anna Gunn, who plays Skylar, said that she might. Obviously, we've already seen a couple of cameos of old characters. I would be surprised if we didn't see Gus Fring in this show.
And I assume that at some point, I forget Sal's like big bodyguard.
Huel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, some nice surprises. We won't spoil it. You should check it out.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because it kind of breaks the mold for cable TV. It's on a Monday night. Because if you follow cable TV channels, almost every show is on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
I'm really digging it. Looking forward to the rest of the season because it's giving me Breaking Bad feelings. And I just wanted to drop that one in there.
Nothing more than feelings. Anyhow, big news of the week. Something that's been rumored since November, and I honestly didn't think was going to happen, but who knew Sony was in that bad of a position. It came out super, super, super late on Monday night. Like, I believe it dropped at 3:30
p.m.
It was like 10:30 my time.
Yeah, I was getting ready for that. Adds up. And I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. This is when you drop it. And so basically, Marvel and Disney, Marvel, Sony have worked out a deal. A very interesting deal, but we'll get to that in a second. Where Spider-Man can now appear in Marvel Cinematic Universe films. And Sony retains the full rights to Spider-Man movies.
And that includes like creative rights, licensing rights too, and don't they get the profits from the films?
Yes. Well, basically, everything pretty much stays the same as it is now, except he can appear in Marvel films. Basically, what happened is, according to what I've read, there's no money exchanged in this deal. They just kind of see it as a mutually beneficial deal.
Well, this Spider-Man is mutually beneficial. This is benefiting Sony more than anything else.
It benefits both companies.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it, maybe. I think equally. For Marvel, it gives them a new play toy, one of their biggest property by far.
Oh, yeah.
To come into these films. For Sony, it gives them some... Like, Spider-Man has done well, but the Spider-Man films have been on a sliding...
They've been inconsistent.
Well, not necessarily in the quality, but as far as revenue, as far as like money goes, it's each movie has made less than the other, and that's not a direction you want to go in. And especially if you pay attention to Sony as a company, who thank heavens, have found enough nickels and dimes. They're only going to use $1.5 billion this year instead of their projected $2 billion.
Yes. Oh, man. That leak destroyed them.
Well, even before the leak, it's a company. Like, I think sometimes, especially that all three of us are gamers, I think people tend to think that Sony's in a much healthier position than they are.
Yeah.
And you can see a lot of that is coming through. This deal, and then we had Sony Online Entertainment. They sold that just last week or the week before that. So, basically, a few years back, Sony made a deal with the devil, which I think in hindsight was a terrible, terrible idea, which is why they're in this position. Sony gave up all merchandising rights for Spider-Man in exchange for the complete movie rights. What that means is that the movies have to make money because they generate no profit off of any of the toys and the comic books and the whatever. And I don't know, I don't have the chart handy, but there's a chart that came out, I think the end of last year. Spider-Man is by far the most profitable comic book property, followed by Batman, Superman, then the Avengers.
I can believe it. From what I've heard, that's like been consistent for forever, basically.
Yeah. And I think it's because he's always kind of been part of the mainstream. Like, he's had the 60s TV show, he's had two live-action TV shows, he's pretty much had cartoons. He was the first major blockbuster movie franchise of this new golden era. Pretty so Spider-Man much. Has always kind of been there. And if you ever check out his merchandising, he's on everything.
Also, he's one of the most well-known superheroes just in everyday thing. Him, Batman, Superman, I would say, are the three most
well-known. I think easily the three biggest comic book characters. I think, depending on the era, you know, the order would vary, but I think right now it would be Batman, Spider-Man, Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's probably fair, yeah.
Yeah, but yes.
I think Spider-Man would be first.
The only reason I wouldn't say Spider is because I don't necessarily think anything he's been in recently has been hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man's on air, but nobody really watches it. The movies, like we said, have kind of had decline in revenue, where Batman has been... I said Spider-Man before Superman.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the games are not good.
Yeah, where Batman is kind of he's had $2 billion films. He's a star of the only good video game franchise around the comic book character.
Yep.
He's had several animated series and way too many animated home videos.
He's pretty much what leads the DC universe at this point, because if you look at what Lego does with them, they call Marvel's product the Marvel Superheroes, and they call DC the DC Superheroes. But the games and like all the
merchandise are split up into Lego Batman, DC Superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. which I'm happy with that they've kind of gone away from that recently. As far as like today the Lego Justice League came out, and that's not Lego, that's Lego DC Superheroes Justice League versus Bizarro League.
Yeah.
So they have that branding out. Yeah.
The movie or the DLC?
The movie.
Okay. Oh, have you guys played Lego Batman 3?
No, but I've heard an awful lot about it, and I've seen a lot of it played.
There's this video floating around of when you pick Wonder Woman and she flies, it plays the old Wonder Woman theme song.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's really funny.
It is sad, though. That's the only theme song that Wonder Woman has. But there's some good and bad to the Spider-Man deal. I think more good than bad. I guess the bad we should start off with.
Wait. Okay, go on.
Okay, what was that? The funeral march?
Yeah, for Andrew Garfield.
Oh, that wasn't even where I was going to start with, but I guess Andrew Garfield being axed is a big negative. I really enjoyed him in the part.
Yes, yeah. he was a better Spider-Man.
But a worse Peter Parker.
Nah, I think that was the writing that made him a worse Peter Parker.
I think
as far as performance, he was the better in both.
I don't know, I feel like he portrayed a better Spider-Man in being very... snarky and very, like, full of himself, but like in a joking way. And then I feel like what's his name did a really good Peter Parker at being nerdy and stuff. Pretty fair job at being Spider-Man, though. Not the best.
It's better than Toby.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I did feel like, I feel like he got the short end of the stick. And at the same time, I would also say, even though I think all of us kind of agreed The Amazing Spider-Man 2 wasn't that great of a film, it, in hindsight, has become the most useless comic book film of all time because the movie spends half of its time setting up sequels that never are going to happen.
God damn. You must. I kind of feel sorry for whoever had to write all that stuff in because, man, they just got fucked.
It reminds me of The Incredible Hulk, where a lot of that stuff was set up that we're never going to get payoff either.
Oh, yeah, what happened to Abomination again?
Exactly. Or General Ross talking to Tony Stark, or any of that stuff they set up. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, hey, now both studios have, like, you know, one failure.
This is why you should have your film standalone.
Well, to be fair, I guess Marvel had some idea of what they were doing. Sony just had literally no idea. They were just like throwing stuff onto a wall and seeing.
I think it was just very last minute. They're like, "Oh, we could totally make this to Sinister Six. Let's do it then. All right, let's add in like five other villains."
I really hope that somewhere on the internet, within the next week, there's going to be like the end credits for Amazing Spider-Man 2, but like all the schematics and stuff is just going to be like black spots and like footage not found.
But here's the weird thing about the deal and the arrangement is, according to sources and Sony, they're still doing the Sinister Six movie.
Yeah.
I have no idea how that's going to work now. Because, I mean, I assume they're moving it, but you never know. Because, like, right now, it was supposed to come out in, what, I think the 8 next year, 8-2016, which would be after he makes his Marvel Cinematic Universe debut, but before his standalone film. So, I don't know. But the other bad news, I guess, depending on...
They said they're going to push it back like, at least a year, so...
Okay. So, the other bad news, depending on how you look at it...
Isn't it still July 2017?
Well, for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He was talking about Sinister Six, I imagine. But, because Spider-Man actually moved forward, because Spider-Man itself was supposed to be 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I would also say that this is the second group of Spider-Man and director who have been unceremoniously dumped from the franchise. Because Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi were also dumped during Spider-Man 3 and 4. So, don't trust Sony with this franchise. The other bit of bad news is because Spider-Man is now dropping in July 2017 instead of July 2018, almost every film in that Marvel Phase 3 has been pushed back.
Yeah.
Well, I should say the non-essential films. It sounds very negative, but Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers Part 1 and 2 still retain their dates.
Oh,
so.
Of course they do.
So yeah, Thor has been moved from summer 2017 to November 2017. Black Panther moves from November 2017 to July 2018. Captain Marvel moves from July to November 2018. And Inhumans now follows sometime in 2019 after Avengers Part 2.
It's like July 2nd, I think it is.
Nobody cares about the Inhumans. So yes, everything kind of gets pushed back 3 to 7 months, depending on where you fell. Basically, everything got pushed back to the next available shot that was in Avengers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of sucks for, I guess, people who were really looking forward to like, the Black Panther and Captain Marvel film because
there's a lot of people.
Yeah, so because those get pushed back almost half a year each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, that was the other negative. Especially for Inhumans, I don't know who's looking forward to it because
I'm interested in it.
It gets pushed completely out of the Avengers window, which probably means it won't be connected, even though I always thought that was weird that that and Captain Marvel were in between Avengers Part 1 and 2. Even though Captain Marvel still exists in that little window between those two films.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. And I assume it's going to shake up a bit more once Sony announces their other films, the Spider-Woman film, the female Spider-Man film.
You mean the Aunt May film?
And the, I think they're also still working on that Venom film.
I would love to see a Venom film, but they've been working on it for apparently like 15 years, so.
I'd like to see Agent Venom, but not like Eddie Brock Venom.
Well, yes, I guess going back to that, this is going to be a reboot of the franchise, I imagine?
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're getting new actors and stuff like that, but maybe they want to continue the continuity instead of further back, but from everything they've said and everything that's been pointed out, it seems to be that it's going to star a younger Peter Parker, and they're going to hopefully stay in high school much longer, because I always hated the fact that they kind of... I actually like younger Peter Parker. I think he's a much better character.
I mean, like, why do we need Peter Parker again?
Well, I was going to bring that up. I know a lot of people are kind of like Miles Morales, but I think this is kind of the same problem we had with Supergirl, in that Miles' identity is kind of tied to Peter in the sense that he takes over for him after he dies.
Right, but you don't, there's nothing else you can do with Peter at this point. Literally nothing.
I kind of disagree as far as movies go, because like I said, almost all of the movies skip him being a high school student. Like, they mention it in Amazing Spider-Man more, but he graduates by the start of the second film. And I think that his time in Midtown is one of, I said this on last week's show, neither one of you are around, is that it was kind of disappointing that neither Marvel nor DC had any films that were kind of catered on kids being superheroes. You kind of get that later on down the line with Shazam, but that's not until 2019. Where this one, it can kind of go back to, okay, Peter's an inexperienced kid who has these powers and needs to balance his life. The only problem I kind of have with Spider-Man in the MCU is that his whole spiel of kind of being the wisecrack is kind of done by Iron Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. They did kind of recharacterize Iron Man intensely to be like that.
Yeah, so they've kind of shot themselves in the foot here. They have an uphill battle.
I mean, Spider-Man can still be Spider-Man. You can get very funny banter, but I think it'll be, you'll have to do it in a different way than all the other Avengers series do.
Yeah, and that's going to be the interesting stuff. I'm sure they'll find a way. I mean, Spider-Man, but his core trait has kind of been usurped by Iron Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So that's going to be interesting to see him. And I think I don't think Marvel's officially confirmed it, but I think everybody else has said that he's debuted in Marvel Captain America Civil War. I'm sorry. It should be Marvel Civil War at this point.
Which apparently it won't be about the Registration Act.
I don't think anybody was, because there's no secret identity.
Because of the name, that's what people were thinking.
Yeah, but I mean, that was my first reaction. It's because, like, Iron Man has a public identity, Captain America has a public identity, Thor has no secret identity, the Hulk has a secret identity. Well, he doesn't have a secret identity, people know who he is, but you know. Black Widow kind of outed everybody at the end of Winter Soldier anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Same with Hawkeye, really. Hawkeye's on a farm.
Yeah, so, I think, if anything, it's probably going to be about a difference in how to deal with supervillains.
Because it seems like none of the Marvel heroes have really like killed any of their enemies.
They've all killed their enemies.
I mean, have it?
Iron Man killed the Ironmonger. Pepper killed the dude in Iron Man 3, technically.
He didn't kill Crimson Dynamo or whatever they're calling him, though, right?
No, he killed himself.
Whiplash. Whiplash still lives.
No, he doesn't.
I thought he was still alive.
No, he blew up.
Did he?
What?
I honestly don't remember Iron Man 2, truth be told.
Yeah, it's a big blur.
Thor kind of implies that Loki dies, even though he's still alive. The villain in Thor 2 dies by Thor's hand.
Yep.
Hulk kills Abomination.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he does.
Choked him out.
He chokes him. He strangles him to death.
No.
Does he not?
I don't think so.
He has two huge weights around his neck, and
I'm gonna look this up.
I'm pretty sure he's dead.
I don't think he is.
I've never seen. I have no input on that particular one. So,
I mean, technically, he didn't kill him, but Red Skull's dead, or as dead as you can be.
They could pull a Loki on him though, but I would be way surprised if they did.
Is the person from Captain America 2 dead?
What, Pierce?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Fury killed him.
But Winter Soldier himself is not dead, though.
Yeah, but he's not. He's kind of an anti-hero or whatever now.
I mean, whatever. I mean, depends on who you ask. If you ask Tumblr, it's a totally different story.
Oh, we won't get into that. But, yeah, I mean, I've made this point before because I always find it funny that people got upset at Superman snapping Zod's neck when Iron Man killed an entire race.
Oh, that wasn't why they were upset, though.
That was my point, though, is that people don't know how. Like, people just kind of gravitate towards something and stick to that talking point, even though it doesn't make any sense. I understand that people were upset because it's quote unquote out of character. Which doesn't make any sense in the movie because they never established that.
Yeah, Abomination's alive. He's just in, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. custody.
Well, okay. I don't remember that in the movie. I'm pretty sure he choked him out to death.
Nah.
But also, Ronan's dead, too, so worth noting.
Yeah, but they're not Avengers.
No, it's still in the universe, so.
But or maybe it has something to do with Iron Man spying on people. I don't know, but I assume. I'm really kind of curious now because. Yeah, like, if you were Marvel, if you were Kevin Feige, if you were the Russo brothers, how do you do Civil War that makes sense to introduce both Black Panther and Spider-Man?
You do it like Ultimate Spider-Man does it.
Nah, don't fucking compare Ultimate Spider-Man to this.
Because I was thinking, like, oh, okay, Black Panther, maybe Cap... Because, you know, in the Comic-Con footage, they said his shield was broken, and you want Vibranium, you go to Wakanda. That made sense, but how does he get involved in this war between Captain America and Iron Man? Like, what is the draw there? What is their conflict? I guess we'll figure out more of that during Avengers Age of Ultron, but I feel like Spider-Man throws a new wrinkle into that, because what is his angle...
I think it depends on how they want to portray what the Civil War is about, which I don't think anyone has any idea of yet, really.
But that's like, what Justin, that's right.
What?
I mean, well, Justin said it's not about the Registration Act, and if it's not about that, and it's about, like, Cap and Iron Man still going their separate ways, like, what would cause, I mean, start at the source, I guess, what would cause them to go their separate ways automatically?
I guess that's kind of hinted at in the preview at the Marvel panel for Age of Ultron where they were at the Hawkeye's farm where Tony did something or had something in place that led to, like, you know, Tony's like, I did this to protect the team, and Steve is like, you put the team in danger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably something where God, I cannot speak tonight. Where, like, they have, like, records on the Avengers' weaknesses or something.
Maybe. Maybe it has something to do with the remnants of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know.
More than likely.
I was thinking, that's what I was saying. But then that kind of sounds, well, I guess Marvel can beat them to the punch. That sounds like an adaptation of, like, Batman or Justice League's Tower of Babel, where, like, Batman has those secret files on how to defeat every member of the Justice League. And I feel like it's so different with the Avengers because none of them have clear weaknesses. It's like, shoot them. Like, pretty much, shoot Cap, shoot Iron Man, shoot Hulk.
They are all relatively human, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure there's something in the Age of Ultron that's going to set them off. Maybe it has to do with Ultron. Maybe he's upset with Tony Stark building these weapons.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually more curious now that we talk about Age of Ultron and, like, how that ends having to do with Civil War. Like, how are they going to explain getting everyone back in one place for Age of Ultron? This is something I've been wondering for a while.
Well,
Do you mean Infinity War?
No, for Age of Ultron. Like, how? What in Avengers, they just kind of were like, yeah, there's a big thing. Thor had his reason for coming back to Earth, but everyone else was already on Earth. Like, what's their reason for getting, specifically Thor, I guess, but mostly everybody back?
They're independent now since they, like, are under S.H.I.E.L.D. protection. They're just, like contractors, I guess, basically.
How are they going to explain them all in one place?
Yeah, his point is, like, why are they showing up here and not the other movie they get?
Because, I mean, they've clearly been shown all in Tony's tower. Well, and I guess the biggest one that's a question is, like, you can get Tony and Bruce in one place. You can get Tony and Steve in one place. And if you can get Steve in one place, you can get everyone else. But how do you get Thor back on Earth?
I'm guessing how that goes is, like, it relates to Fury looking for the rest of Hydra, and they realize, like, they need the big guns, like, all hands on deck for whatever's going on in Castle Rock.
But see, they never called for Thor in other movies. He just came when he wanted to. So, like,
he had Heimdall watching him, so that's probably what happens this time, too.
They had Thor's phone number. Like, hey, Thor, come on down, we got some pizza.
They Snapchat him. Be like, yo, we need you, LOL.
I was also going to say, based on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think Nick Fury necessarily needs the big guns to track down Hydra. They seem pretty incompetent.
Yeah, they need them to deal with them, because it's a huge complex.
I don't know.
I'm kind of curious, because of how they were set up, but I'm sure that it would make sense. I'm sure, because, basically, they didn't come together until the end of Avengers, and it doesn't seem like I assume there's going to be an army of Ultrons later on, but it seems like the start of the film, there's one threat, and that's just Ultron, and that's after they all formed. So, what brings them together before that is your question, I assume.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, honestly, because in Avengers, it was pretty gradual, actually, because they also had to get people established. Like, you had to really get Captain America from the end of his movie to the Avengers, really. I don't know. I'm just curious where, like, what's going to, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll see in a couple months.
Yeah, it's only 3 months away. I'm kind of curious to see if they'll offer up any hints of possibly Spider-Man, Black Panther, or Captain Marvel in the Stinger.
I expect Black Panther way more than I expect Spider-Man or Captain Marvel.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, there was rumors. I mean, I guess part of it, and then we can kind of go into this, is technically speaking, they don't have a Spider-Man. Since they annexed Andrew Garfield, which I imagine he has to get a pretty decent payday from, because he signed up for a trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, what happens when contracts like that are, like, nixed by new ones?
Well, I mean, he...
air quotes nixed.
But he gets paid, because he didn't break the contract.
Right.
Yeah.
That's on them.
Yeah. It's like, it's one of the reasons why, if you ever see, like, movie budgets, sometimes they're really, really far up there. It's because the budget also includes, like, anybody they got to write a script they don't use, or anybody who was signed on to direct and ends up backing out, or anything like that. It's one of the reasons, like, you know, Tangled has one of the highest animated budgets of all time, and it's because the project was started and stopped so damn often. They don't have a Spider-Man. They seem to be looking for somebody younger than Andrew Garfield, who's currently 31.
So, who would you...
Is he really? Wow.
Yeah, dude's old. air quotes old. He's like a decade older than me, at least.
I didn't expect it. I thought he was still in his 20s. Wow.
Well, he was in his 20s when he was cast as Spider-Man.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, same with Tobey Maguire, I guess, in fairness.
Yeah, but I assume they probably want somebody a bit younger, because you're looking at somebody who's probably going to have to carry two franchises for you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this rumor went around today, which is that Variety says that two names are already being considered for Spider-Man. One of them is Logan Lerman, who always looks like he's 16, and the other one is Dylan O'Brien.
I don't know.
Logan Lerman is from he's from the Percy Jackson films.
Ah, who's the other one?
Dylan O'Brien from Teen Wolf.
Oh, jeez.
I dislike both of these choices for different reasons.
I mean, I kind of got on board with Logan because he was the one who was originally rumored when they announced this, and I think he was pretty good in Perks of Being a Wallflower. So that's good. Dylan O'Brien, I think, is probably on the verge of needing that one big breakout role.
God,
He does not need to be. I don't want him to do this.
I feel like I think that's what he hoped Maze Runner would have been.
Well, but, they're still doing that, aren't they? The sequel.
Probably.
Yeah, I think.
But if you had it, if it came down to doing Maze Runner sequels or Spider-Man, another name that isn't in contendership right now, but I've heard a lot of people saying I kind of agree with, even though it would pay me so much, was Grant Gustin.
God, no.
He pretty much plays Peter Parker on the Flash as it is.
I don't think DC. I think DC would like try to shoot him if he went over to Marvel.
Well, I mean, as much as they would want, I can't imagine that the CW's purse string is anywhere close to Disney's wallet.
Very, very true.
So if Disney really, really wanted him, I'm sure they can get him. But at the same time, I also don't think they're going to try to poach him because he does currently play a big, popular superhero. And they probably want somebody who does.
Like, if the show is ending soon, then yes, but it's not.
I would love to see him as a Spider-Man for what it's worth, but I would not expect it to happen.
People can keep dreaming.
Yeah, I don't expect it to happen. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure he would take Spider-Man in a heartbeat. I'm sure, there's always that weird internet narrative because he won't get a chance to play the Flash on the big screen.
God, that was a really shitty thing of them.
I mean, not to
make him the Flash on the big screen, but just like to announce it like 2 weeks after his show came on.
Yeah, but I mean,
that was a shitty thing.
In the grand scheme of things, I don't think it matters. The Flash is by far, as far as network outreach, the most popular comic book show on TV. It does numbers that the CW can only dream of getting the rest of the shows to do. I mean, just to kind of put it in comparison, it pretty much does the same thing Agent Carter does on ABC. And those networks cannot be further apart in their
For real.
Their household. But yeah, I think he would make a great Peter Parker.
That's good.
If they went with Miles Morales, I saw somebody suggest this, and I do think I mean, he's on The Walking Dead right now, but
James Williams.
Yes. I think my only beef with him, and I guess he can work on that, is he's extremely scrawny.
Yeah, because no one's ever worked out before for a role.
I'm saying that there's certain people that no matter how much they work out, they can't really get.
Yeah, I'm going to say, Justin, to that exact point, what about Christian Ritter? We were just talking about on this podcast. Boom.
Fair enough. I'll eat crow on that one.
But I was also,
Miles isn't particularly beefy.
I was also going to say Peter is either. And that was always something I found strange about the original Spider-Man is the Spider-Bite gives him six packs.
Yeah.
I don't get that science, but it's the same way that Lightning gave the Flash abs. But yeah,
that's the best line ever.
And he's relatively young. I think he has a chance for that breakout role.
Yeah.
You suggested the kid from Blackish.
Yes.
I don't think he's ready there as far as acting goes.
I only say that as someone who hasn't watched Blackish, but I've heard like he is one of the better parts of, or he's one of the good parts of that show.
I think the entire show is fun, but I think he has help in hand in that he has a lot of seasoned comedic actors as his, you know, he has Ron Fishburne and Anthony Anderson and Rainbow as his parents, and they're very well trained comedic actors. And actresses, so he can feel for them better. I feel like, I mean, you know, nobody's ever really ready, and maybe if they wanted to be, but I feel like he just isn't there to headline a solo Spider-Man film.
I just, for what it's worth, he could totally pull off the look of Miles.
Yeah. Mm. And I also feel like he's one of those kids
Donald
who hasn't
Glover.
Gone through. Oh, Donald Glover, I mean, he's the same age as Andrew Garfield. He's 31.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
and
well,
that
no,
defeats the purpose.
Well, no, my thing with Donald Glover is he's like Bryan Cranston or Katie Sackhoff, where he's just like, people want him to be this person just for
yeah,
and like not much else.
Yeah, I
isn't saying that Donald Glover is a bad actor, but also,
I also think he does not look like a young kid anymore. He ages. His age shows.
Here's my thing with Donald Glover. He's a funny guy, but I don't think he's Spider-Man funny. He's not funny in the way Spider-Man is.
No, he's like Deadpool funny.
He's like comedic funny, like straight up, like he would be adding comedy to like a sitcom or like to a stand-up comedian role. Like he's not going to sit there and pull these like quips that Spider-Man does as well as him. I don't think it suits who he is.
Yeah, I also find it funny because when the whole Donald for Spider-Man thing started, it was actually for Peter. And now before, like, they want him for Miles. And I'm like, Miles is, like, Peter in the comics has aged up to the point where he was an adult. He has a job. Miles is, like, what, 15?
He's, like, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So that's a stretch.
Yeah, I don't know, Kay, how much makeup you put on Donald Glover. He's not a teenager.
Also, these Photoshops of, like, Donald Glover's head on, like, Tobey Maguire's tiny body, they need to stop because they're all awful.
Yeah.
They're just really bad. And like his head is too big.
Yeah. His whole body is a little too big for a 14-year-old. And that's not saying that he's a big guy. It's just saying that he's an adult.
No, but this is on Tobey Maguire's body.
Oh, gotcha. I was going to mention about casting a new Spider-Man, I would think that they would want to go with someone who's already fairly well established. I know you mentioned like the guy from Blackish is not, and just is waiting for that breakout role. I feel like they kind of want someone who's at least somewhat established already.
Yeah,
they
and
don't.
I think
it doesn't really matter who it is. I think they're just going to go with someone who has a name. Like Andrew Garfield had a name, Tobey Maguire had a name. Maybe it wasn't the biggest best, but they at least came in there with something. They didn't go from nothing to Spider-Man.
And I think that's kind of what you get with Oaken, because he does have he has acting chops. He had Perks of Being a Wallflower, which was really big. He had a Percy Jackson, as far as like a not necessarily a big blockbuster, but a blockbuster franchise. He was in Fury. He was in Noah. So he has that.
Wait, did you say he was in Fury?
Yeah.
Okay.
He has that experience. It would also kind of be funny because then you end up with Spider-Man and the Flash in the same movie making out. Ezra Miller kisses him in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Oh, I didn't know that. I haven't seen that.
Oh, spoilers.
Oh, no, spoilers for like a 5-hour movie.
Three, but okay.
Ooh.
But yeah, he has that. I feel like Don O'Brien, I think he does well on Teen Wolf, but
I have words about this boy.
Well, I was going to say, to Dan's point, it's very similar in that I feel like his comedic timing is different from Spider-Man, where he tends to be more reactionary and he tends to be more over the top when he reacts, instead of being the source of the humor.
Wait, who are we talking about? Sorry.
Dylan O'Brien.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you and I have watched Teen Wolf, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do not, so I don't know him.
Right. But, so you know that people say it's like, oh my god, he's such a great actor, he should win an award. He's definitely not the best part of that show. People need to hop off his dick.
I assume this is probably on Tumblr. I think it's the same thing.
No, it's not just Tumblr, it's other places.
It's the thing I say about Arrow and The Flash, as much as I love those shows. I never think they're going to win an award for acting, because the characters act in a certain way that makes sense in the universe, because it makes this joy. The show's a heightened experience, but it's not necessarily what you would consider classically good.
Right.
Yeah, like, Taylor Posey is awful in that show, but he's awful in the right way.
I like his facial expressions.
Yeah, he's awful in a way that he's awful in the way that he kind of plays the straight guy who has no idea what he's doing.
Because he literally has no idea what he's doing. It's great.
So, yes.
I mean, it also doesn't help that Teen Wolf isn't written very well, which I feel like makes up for this more, makes like 90% of the bad acting more than anyway.
Yes. I mean, I guess the other show you would check out right now, we kind of joked about this earlier on with DC. I think G would kind of be a show you look at, because they have the youngest talent in Hollywood. And
yeah.
I forget, what is it, Chad Overstreet? Overt Street or Overcord? The blonde
hair. It's been a while since I've seen Glee, so I don't know.
It's been like 4 years.
I watched part of the first season, and they had the stupid double pregnancy storyline, and I'm like, I'm out.
I don't know which season I watched, but I remember it had Gwyneth Paltrow doing Umbrella.
I feel
says just enough right there.
Yeah, I think we've talked way more about Glee than we needed to. I know I brought it up, but I'm just saying, like, because I guess what shows did you look at for good young actors? We mentioned Teen Wolf, and that's so-so. Glee's another one, even though they're probably gotten up there in age.
They're going to put the Glee actors all back in their cages once the show's ended.
I guess the CW would be a good place to look.
The CW has a vice grip on attractive young people.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like other shows that air on like primetime that's kind of catered to that audience, and there aren't a ton of them anymore. So I guess the next possible thing would be like Disney XD.
Dude.
Is there a channel I'm missing, Nick?
It would be interesting, related to Disney XD, to see Disney kind of go internally and, like, bump people up, because they do own Marvel now. Like, it would be interesting to see them kind of help Marvel out in that way.
I don't think they want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they will do that,
because I feel like most of their talent lies in those kids and their singing abilities.
Well, not the guys. That tends to be the females.
Well, yeah, which, I mean, you know, the guys, they just, like, die, basically.
Yeah, that's true. They fade
into obscurity because there's no other use for them.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I don't even know who's I don't watch the Disney Channel anymore. I don't even know who's in the Disney universe anymore for them to kind of even graduate into a big role for them.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
They also renew, but they have, like, their shows go on for quite a while, more often than not.
Well, their shows, they tend, I don't think they do it as much anymore, but their shows were pretty much a neat package. They went to 65 episodes and they stopped. No matter how popular the show was, they were like 65 and you're done, which is why stuff like, which works in that, you know, like, okay, you get 65 and you're out of here. It means you know how many you're going to get to tell a story and how much room you have to wiggle and stuff like that. If you were popular, if you weren't, you were done, whatever. But yeah, I'm trying to think of any other shows you can kind of pull talent from, or even movies. Like, I can't think of, because it's a weird range where, like, it's not the super young kids. It's like that, but it's not like the ones who've graduated to like being 20 somethings who play high schoolers in horror films or something like that.
Right. It's not like you can just grab the little kid from Insidious and Jurassic World. You gotta grab older. I would say if this situation with Spider-Man happened a little bit later, he would be the one, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess you can go to something like The Maze Runner or Divergent, or I don't know, Twilight, maybe.
What other kids are in Divergent?
No, I feel just out of touch with reality in this whole conversation.
Well,
I watch a lot of shows too.
Well, I mean, these are movies. These are like the young adult movies.
Yeah, no, that's true.
But yeah, Theo James, Ray Stevens, no, he's probably old.
I don't think it can be Miles Teller, but isn't Ray Stevenson, like, an old man?
Yeah,
who is the Punisher.
Is it?
Yeah.
Which Punisher?
He is 50.
No, yeah, dude, that's the Punisher.
Which Punisher?
The one in the Warzone.
Oh, Warzone. Okay. I know Dolph Lundgren and I know Thomas Jane. I didn't know.
It doesn't matter which Punisher. He's too old for
no,
it.
No, I mean, I already meant I didn't know which one because I knew Thomas Jane and I've never put together who actually played him in Warzone. Even though that's a good movie you should check out.
Wait, which one?
Warzone.
Dude, Warzone was... that is a trip.
I honestly thought he was going to be silent because he didn't speak for like the first half an hour. But, what about the Mortal Instruments?
I'm sure. Okay, show of hands, who saw the Mortal Instruments and remembers it?
These are just words to me, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm literally just kind of going through my brain like, what were some terrible young adult movies that came out?
Dude, you were reaching.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to find these teenage actors?
Yeah,
they'll just create them, or they'll probably come from the ether.
But I mean, like, you want the
Zac Efron. There you go.
He's too old for this
Efron
now.
Zac Efron in Star Wars.
How old is he actually? Like 27? Wow.
Zac Efron's in Star Wars.
I mean, kind of to go back to. It would be awesome if they get. It'd be awesome if they get Dave. If they got Dave Franco just to continue the legacy.
Oh dang, that would be amazing.
I love that you almost bought that, Dan.
No, I was just confused what you meant when you said it.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm just like, I'm thinking of all these, like the Virgin, you know, Mortal Instruments, Hunger Games.
Wait, did you say the Virgin?
Divergent.
Oh.
Mortal Instrument. What was that other one by Stephanie Brown?
The Host?
Yes, the Host.
Stephanie Meyer?
Whatever.
What about that dude from Fault in Our Stars? I don't even know who that
movie. Miles Teller?
Well, I don't know.
Well, we
I'm not a young
Miles.
Adult.
Aren't you 23?
22. Look to ya.
You're the perfect audience for this, Dan.
Yeah, they'll cast me then.
Oh, God, no. It's going to be a fucking awful movie. You know what, I'll do it. I'll
just get out of college.
You know what, I'll do it.
Just get out of college. Sony, I'm here.
You know what, I'll do it. I'll act. I'll be Spider-Man. Wow.
But yes, is there anybody in particular that you want?
Not Dylan O'Brien.
Okay.
I just can't think of any actors in general at that age group that or anything. I don't know.
This is like really hard because I can't think of any that are like good actors and not just on like some TV show that no one watches.
Well, that's the point. It's like I'm sure we're going to finish this podcast and it's going to be like, oh man, remember that movie that had that amazing child actor in it? He should be the right age now.
You mean Haley Joel Osment?
Haley Joel Osment has to be old by now.
I know.
Who else is there?
I'm on an article now. I'm on an article of like 25 best actors in their 20s, and this is scary. Some of the people they're recommending.
Oh, also not the dude in Kingsman.
I like Eggsy.
I'm not saying it's because he's a bad actor. I just don't like his face, basically.
You don't want another British, but he has the booty.
I don't care. I don't fucking care.
I always say that because the first screening I went to, there's a scene where he's underwater, and some chick behind me already says, damn, he has a booty.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And I think that was funny as hell, just because you don't think people would actually say that out loud.
That's really weird.
Yeah. And it's kind of stuck with me, so. And I've seen it more than once, so there's that. Really good movie, you should check it out. Some people said,
What about
Brenton?
I have no idea how to say his last name, not him either. He can't act.
Who is he? What is he from?
He's from The Giver.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's like minus 10 points right there.
That is the perfect movie to draw from, though.
A movie that no.
Oh, he's too old for that. Somebody said John Ralphio.
A John Ralphio Spider-Man movie would be amazing. Swinging my way.
Oh my God, that would die.
You know what? How about we just get Aziz Ansari to play Spider-Man, and then we get John Ralphio to be Green Goblin.
Yes. All right. Cut. Print.
Okay. It just while we're making up stuff, this doesn't necessarily piss me off, but I find it funny that I don't know if either one of you two are asking for this. People were saying like DC should not cast Tom Hardy as somebody in Suicide Squad since he was Bane, because it would be confusing. I think that's silly logic, but whatever.
Who would that be?
That's what people say. I don't get that.
Though.
Same time, people are like Marvel and
people are stupid.
people are saying Marvel and Sony should bring back J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson. And I'm like, how is that not confusing to have somebody who plays a role of the same character from two reboots ago?
I don't feel like that would be confusing.
It's not confusing. It's weird because it's a break from that continuity. The Amazing Spider-Man was a break from that continuity. I thought it was stupid when Bond did it, even though I like Judi Dench as M. It was really strange that she remained as M when they rebooted the franchise.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, that was weird.
I mean, it was funny because I thought she had much better chemistry with Daniel Craig than she had with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, totally. She was a much better character then.
But it was strange that she remained in that role.
Apologies
because,
to Ralph Fiennes.
But yes, since we're pretty much just making stuff up at this point, is there anything you folks want to say before we wrap up?
Spider-Man.
I am...
Whoever they better be worth pushing back.
Yo, I want to say one thing about Spider-Man. Sorry, Justin, to just trump all over you.
Rude bastard.
If they're going to just nix Garfield in this Spider-Man, what was the point of killing Emma Stone? Come on.
Oh, like I said, The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is really the most worthless comic book movie of all time now, because none of that matters. It's like, we got rid of this fantastic character, and we wasted half of our movie to set up sequels for not giving you folks. So, there you go.
Even with Sinister Six, I'm just going to say, go on record right now, even with the Sinister Six and the third movie coming out, what was the point of Amazing Spider-Man 2? Because it was dumb.
Amazing Spider-Man 2 was dumb, but at least you could always say, okay, maybe it will be paid off in the sequel. Now it's like, it's dumb, and there's no...
it's like a fun kind of dumb, though, a little bit.
Though, you brought up a point that I did want to say, and this is... I don't necessarily know the semantics of the deal, so I don't know if this would work, but with Spider-Man coming into the MCU, they can probably finally have, and I'm probably in a minority with this, but they can probably have some compelling villains, because I've thought that has been the weakest point in the MCU, is that I don't like any of their villains.
Yeah, some of them are pretty throwaway, I guess. Well, it kind of doesn't help that they kill them off every time they introduce them.
Yeah, I just think most... Like, I like the design of the villains, but as far as like how they are as characters, I don't really remember them.
And you can still kill off your villains and make them compelling. I mean, the Joker died. Well, didn't die, but the Joker's one off.
The Joker doesn't die.
The Joker doesn't die. The actor does, but the Joker doesn't.
Wow.
I'm sorry. It's true.
Well, I mean, even the characters that do have continuity between two movies in the MCU, Loki and what's his name, Thanos, are not compelling at all.
Are you not fond of Thanos, the King of Sidon?
What?
The King of Sidon. He sits menacingly.
I've never really liked Thanos as a thing. He's just not, like, with, in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, like, he's just basically like the dude who sits there and does the bolt thing. I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of Thanos.
He's no Darkseid.
He's intense. Okay. I'm not a fan of either of them, really.
Well, Darkseid at least gets his hands dirty.
I guess, yeah. Well, I'll ask you, what's your nickname, Darkseid?
You know, I think Fox has done a great job with Magneto, both Magneto, Fassbender, and McKellen, except for X3, and we don't really talk about X3.
Actual Nazi Magneto?
The random, he's a super terrorist now, because he's doing demands on video. Sony did a terrific job with a lot of their Spider-Man villains. Doc Ock is still probably one of the best in any comic book film. And I like Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, even if he was over the top in his power.
Do you like Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, or do you like Willem Dafoe just being Willem Dafoe, though?
Well, I mean, it works both ways, because Green Goblin in the comics is pretty insane. He just kind of skips several steps to get to the ultimate Green Goblin.
He's not Willem Dafoe insane, though.
I don't think anybody's Willem Dafoe insane.
Bill Murray.
So, damn it, Nicolas Cage. Oh my God, Nicolas Cage should be the Green Goblin.
Yeah, we're just not going to address that one.
But yes, I'm, you know, like, I mean, granted, I've been compelled in, like, Doc Ock or, like, you know, Norman Osborn, not necessarily, like, the Shocker or Mysterio or any of that. Like, they're fun villains, but I don't necessarily think they're a threat in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Yeah, like I said, we don't know the specifics. I don't know, like, as far as I know, it could just be Spider-Man. Like, it could just be Spider-Man and nobody else from his universe. Like, they did say that some Marvel characters may show up in Sony's Spider-Man films, but...
That would be weird.
It wouldn't be weird. I mean, it's going to be weird how they introduce him, because is he going to be somebody who always existed and just avoided all of these big events that happened in New York?
I think it's just be weird if, what if the Marvel universe still keeps going hit after hit after hit, and then the Spider-Man movie just ends up being kind of meh. And so you've got like this meh movie, like Amazing Spider-Man 2, and Thor's just in the background, and you're like, what was that? What was that?
Well, I assume much like how Sony has that say on Spider-Man, I assume Marvel will have that say on any of their characters. So it's like, oh, this movie's awful. Take our character out of this now. I don't care. Cut the whole thing, even if it makes it 20 minutes. So yeah, I imagine
Amazing Spider-Man 2 probably will go in 20
minutes. I'm sure somebody's going to do like a fan edit of Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 to make it a coherent movie.
I hope they have fun with that.
But yeah,
it'll be one long ass weekend.
It's gonna be a hell of a bender, but yes.
I'll get the drinks.
To kind of wrap this up, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher. Some reason, I think we're still on Zoom, even though I honestly don't even check anymore.
We still own the Zoom, though.
I actually own a Zoom, thank you very much.
That's wrong.
Why? Because at this point, it's like, my Zoom still works, and I'm like, I'm not going to replace my MP3 player until it dies, and then if I replace it, I'm just going to use my phone.
God, what year are you in?
I've had this since, like, 2007, so it's been a long time.
Jesus Christ.
Well, they stopped making Zooms in, like, 2010, so it had to have been a while ago. And, yes, we're there. You can always check us out at nerdsontherocks.com or find us on Twitter at nerdsontherocks and Facebook at nerdsontherocks. You can check out our comic book reviews, comic book TV show reviews. There's reviews up right now of Gotham, Flash, Agent Carter, and we will have a actual written thing on this news by one of our other writers. We also have a special podcast discussing the possible Legend of Zelda TV series from Netflix. So check all of that out. And for Justin and Dan, this has been Nerds on the Rocks.
Bye.